Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It's time for the Council of Elders call-in talk show. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. My name is Jansen Brooks, and you're listening to the Council of Elders call-in talk show. We have a fabulous guest for you today. I think you're really going to like her, Ms. Nunu. But before we get started, let me just cover a little bit about the Council of Elders concept. So the Council of Elders concept is where you have elders in the community who will give counsel, guidance, and help to younger members of the community, and so that young Americans or whatever in the community can switch to exchange. Now, with that said, I'd like to introduce our guest today. She's a lady that I've been wanting to have on the show for quite a while, but our schedules just didn't link up, but we have her today. I'm going to let her introduce herself. She is in the Sacramento, California area. Let me just do this, because I almost forgot. Not long ago, I found out that Nigerian immigrants in the United States were doing very, very well in spite of all odds, you know. And I thought that the mindset could shed light on African Americans who might not be doing so well, and they might be a good sort of template or a good role model. That's the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about today. And so, Ms. Nunu, thank you very much for coming on the show today, taking your time to come on the show. And can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on here. So my nickname is Nunu, but my full name is Achinike Fornoy. I was born in Nigeria, Ogun State, and I came here at a young age. I was adopted by missionaries, and I've been living in California since, what I want to say, 4 or 5 months. So I've kind of had the best of both worlds, understanding the Nigerian culture and the American culture. And, yes, I currently do reside in the Sacramento, California area.
Well, again, thank you for being on the show. Now,
yes.
I want to just read this for our audience so that they know, which was surprising to me. I just found this out less than a year ago. But the article goes, "We could all learn from and emulate Nigerians as a path to excellence." Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa, with a population of 198 million people as of 2018. Nigeria is the African country of origin with the most migrants here in the United States. The 2016 American Community Survey estimates that 380,785 U.S. residents report Nigerian ancestries. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 4% of Nigerians hold a PhD degree. That is compared to 1% of the general population. 10% of Nigerians hold a master's degree, and 37% have bachelor's degrees. According to data provided by Rice University in Texas, Nigerian Americans are the most educated ethnic group in the U.S. According to the Migration Policy Institute, 29% of Nigerian Americans have graduate degrees, and that is compared to 11% of the overall U.S. population. A minimum of 4% of Nigerian Americans also hold PhD degrees. That is at least three times higher than any other ethnic group in the United States. More than 70% of black doctors in the United States are now of Nigerian descent. And that was a quote that I got off of YouTube, which really enlightened me. And so I wanted to just share, you know, some of the principles that Nigerians have that we could all, you know, emulate. And in talking to Nunu before the show, we talked about four areas that, you know, are kind of foundational. And it's about to talk about it in an hour, and of course this is not all, but what we talked about, and she enlightened me on this. The first was a sense of community. Nigerians have more of a sense of community, and we'll talk about that. Next was culture. Even getting down to, you know, the tribal aspect, what tribe you come from, you know, in Nigeria. And she was saying that Ancestry.com could help us reconnect on that. And the next was respect and honor. You don't want to necessarily come from Nigeria and do all the paperwork and everything and come here just to fail. We talked about a focused mindset and wanting to make a change. And so, Nunu, let's get started with the first one, the sense of community.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yes. A little earlier we were talking about community and just kind of how it affects coming to America. I think the biggest thing for us, similar to other cultures in which we definitely want to kind of look at, is every culture has little China this, little Japan that. They have areas in their cities that they create, you know, local banks. They create local restaurants. They create local, you know, shops for their community. And that's a sense of stronghold. So when you come from Japan, or when you come from Cambodia, wherever immigration place you're coming from, you have a stand area to where, hey, you know what, I'm going to go over here and I know that I can get help, whether it be with food, whether it be understanding housing, you know, daycare, helping my, you know, new start in America. I have somebody to help me and some type of community to back me up and show me through the ropes of having a stronghold in America. So I think that's one of the biggest things that the Nigerians kind of have is our community. We understand that, you know, wherever I'm at, you know, whether if I'm in Houston, New York, you know, up north, down south, I know that I can go to my nearest area where my people are at and I can get help and structure.
And you say you can go to a restaurant or a fabric store.
I mean, the biggest thing to the littlest thing, you know, and I said, you know, with these little mom and pop stores, you know, they bring, you know, so much help. You know, I was stating that, you know, if an immigrant comes or a small family, whoever, you can go to that area and say, hey, I'm new in town, just moved here, or I'm here for, you know, college, just got a, you know, college visa. And, you know, a family will bring you in or kind of adopt you, so to say, and, you know, help you and show you the world. Hey, you know, if you need a place to stay, come crash with me for a while. You know, if you need tutoring when it comes to, you know, going for your BA. I have a cousin who went to UC Berkeley, or I have a cousin who went to Sac State. You have people around you that will mentor you and guide you so that it will make the road easier while you're here.
Right. Well, that's something that largely a lot of African Americans have lost, you know, and we talk about that. Right. So a sense of community. So if you want to elaborate a little bit more on that in terms of just holidays, so forth.
Yes. And so we are certain holidays more so boil down with our culture. But even when it's not a holiday, such as weddings, weddings are extremely big in the Nigerian culture. And so when you, you know, African-American weddings, you have them at the church or, you know, you have them at, you know, you went out a country club. But for us, you know, our weddings go for weeks, you know, almost like months sometimes, I feel like, trying to bring the family in from overseas and from other states. And so when we do these weddings and when we do these christenings for the baby, they're not just one-day events. They're community events where they last for at least a week, and we're able to socialize with this family from Texas that we haven't seen, or this family from you know, Florida that we haven't seen. We're all able to come together as one and check in with each other and see, you know, what are you up to? What are you doing? And just, you know, a sense of, you know, not only checking in with each other, but just making sure we're all on one accord, you know, who needs help in what state or what area.
Oh, okay. Okay. So weddings are big.
Well, yeah, weddings are very big, and also, like I said, with baby christenings or even just doing a birthday celebration, you know, you invite everybody that you know.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's almost like a family reunion, a lot of this
yes.
event.
Very much. Not a family reunion, and then plus you learn more about new family that you didn't know. You know, even friends of your family that come in. So instead of it just being a one-day event, you know, it definitely becomes into a family reunion. Instead of just seeing each other at a funeral, you know, we see each other constantly during the year.
Right. Let me just say that if someone has a question or comment, you can press the number one on your phone, and you can join this conversation. But, Nunu, next we talked about culture, and you mentioned culture as it differentiates from community. So tell us about that in terms of Nigerian mindset.
Yes, so we definitely talked about the community, how we try to stick with each other and be on, you know, one page. But it goes a little deeper than that, and that's why we were talking about the ancestry and the, I think it's Me23, doing the DNA test. We also have tribes over there. I know that each culture, you know, you have the Fulani Hausa, you have the Igbo, you have the Yoruba, which are kind of like the top three over there in the Nigeria area. And each tribe has a set of customs, a set of speaking, a set of tradition. And so not only when you come together at these weddings, you know, to see your Nigerian people, you have these subsidies, which are the tribes, and you're able to, oh, okay, these are my Igbo people over here. So you guys kind of link together and check in with each other. Same thing with the Yoruba. You know, you link up with your Yoruba people, and, you know, you know who your subset is, and you have the ability to go a little bit deeper into your culture and into yourself and understanding.
Right. I was talking to a Nigerian gentleman a few months ago, and he was telling me that the Igbo or the ego or something like that. What can you correct me on that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. I was trying to think of the thing.
Yeah,
he was saying that they were particularly good entrepreneurs.
Oh, yes. We tease and we joke. They say the Igbo tribe, but we tease them and call them the get money tribe. They're very money oriented. Very money oriented.
I like that tribe.
We call them the get money tribe. Yes, that's them. And they will let you know in a minute.
So.
They say, no, yes. And so
okay,
they're very.
Go ahead.
We that's kind of the teasing name we give them, but they're very, very financially oriented. Not only that, just very highly educated also. They're very big on education, starting your own product. You know, you'll never really see an Igbo trying to work a 9-to-5. You know, they create the 9-to-5. They're very entrepreneurial people, and they take pride in who they are, and they always want to make sure that they have something to leave for family. They're very big on family.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow, that's incredible. Well, I know this, my friend was telling me about that, so I'm glad you enlightened us a little bit more. How do you spell that, E-B-O, or what was
I-G-B-O, I-G-B-O.
I-G-B-O? Okay,
yes.
All right, well,
there's different variations, but that's the main one.
That's okay. Great. So culture, tribes, you recommend stuff like ancestry.com. I want to find out if I'm in Igbo to get money tribe.
that's a little nickname. Yes.
Okay. So, now next, we talked about, respect and honor, you know, in terms of Nigerians coming over. They don't want to come over and flop. They want to really work hard and you know, make sure that they take care of their family. And so talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as you know, I mean, it's the immigration process is no joke. I mean, I don't care what country you come from. You're going to be doing paperwork, more money, you know, and so it is a very tedious and long process, excuse me. And so one thing that we definitely do in our culture is say, hey, look, if we're going to, you know, output all these resources, we need to make sure that, quote unquote, you're the chosen one. You know, if we're going to put all this energy into you, we want to make sure that, look, you're either the oldest boy or the oldest girl, or, you know, we know that, you know what, you've excelled in education here. We think that you would be perfect to represent our family. You know, you become, quote unquote, kind of like how the UN is, you know, a representative for your family. And you're able to come to America. And, you know, we joke around, don't you come back here with nothing. Don't come back empty-handed, you know. So it's like you have the opportunity to go over here and really make something of yourself. You know, don't embarrass me, as they say in the African-American community. Don't be out here embarrassing me. And so, you know, it's kind of like you have the opportunity to not only uplift yourself but uplift your family and, you know, come back and say, look, you know, I'm the dream story, quote unquote. You know, I was able to raise funds and come here and really, you know, whether it be in a BA in English or even just opening up my own little mom and pop situation, you know, you have the ability to come back and say, look, I made it, we made it, and look at all the sacrifice that we did. It came out to be of something and prosperous.
Right. So you're highly motivated.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, we don't want to come back and get embarrassed, because over there, you know, you come back and it's like, wait, you didn't do anything? Uh-uh. Get away from me. You know, you're like, wait,
right.
I tried to get away from me. You know, so, yeah.
Right. So respect and honor, you know, you don't want to fail. You want to make your family look good, feel good, and, you know, and
yes,
progress.
Yes.
So,
and
now I want to just let our audience know, if you have a question or comment, you'd like to talk with Nunu, if you have a question or comment, please press the number 1 on your phone, and we will let you express your question or comment. But I know you talked about wanting to make a change in terms of family and bringing the family up, as you say. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Right. Okay. So for me, I think the best way to make it, you know, clearer and more in American understanding is kind of, we spoke on it, you know, back in the day of community. You know, there goes the Johnsons. That's Mr. Williams' son or Mr. Williams' daughter. It was a sense of pride in your last name. And I think that's kind of what left the African-American community is that sense of last name and sense of pride. I think we definitely need to bring that back because, you know, that's something that we do in our culture. You know, when you come here, oh, that's such and such boy, that's such and such daughter, you know, that's his niece. And, you know, it goes around in the community. You know, oh, he's doing good. He has a this. He has, you know, he opened up a car shop. You know, we pride ourselves on the last name and the uplifting of your family. Because you, quote unquote, we kind of gossipy. Our culture is very gossipy. So it's like, ooh, did you hear about so-and-so? He ain't doing no good, you know. So we're very similar, even though we're apart. And so I tease and say, you know, you definitely want to bring as much honor as you can to your family.
Right, right. So talked about several things, sense of community.
Yes.
Culture, even, you know, tribal, you know, getting down to that. Also respect and honor. And we talked about, we didn't, but we can talk about a focused mindset. In other words, come with a plan and a mission, as you say.
Yes. So kind of going back to move forward, like I said, yeah, it takes forever to get here, paperwork, the financial aspect of it, but also it is the mindset of you're not only representing yourself, you're representing your family and your culture, and I totally understand that, but it's the ability to say, hey, I came to the land of milk and honey, quote unquote, and I was able to, you know, work my way up from, you know, I kind of tease and say this is the Nigerian mindset. Monday you're a CNA, Wednesday you're LVN, and Friday you have a PhD. You know, that's kind of the mindset of how we operate. And it's like, wait a minute, how you move up that quick? But it's because we know that, you know, it takes steps, it takes time, but this is the end goal, a PhD or opening up a company or creating my family. You know, and so that's why we always say we have that mindset. They say, wait a minute, you just got here Monday and Friday. By Friday, you already established, you know, you're doing bigger and better things. But it's knowing that, you know what, there's nothing in America that can't stop me from my goal and my dream. And if it is something that's stopping me, what do I need to do to overcome it? Who do I need to talk to or become friends with or gain access to get these resources to hit the, you know, hit the mark on the nail, so to quote, you know, make sure that everything falls into the right place. So it's that mindset and that determination that says, you know what, nothing's going to stop me from what I want to do.
Right, 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 right. And that's something that has been lost, I think, from a lot of African Americans because we feel that we've been so disenfranchised. You know, I think a lot of people have kind of, I won't say the hope, but become very discouraged. And so can you talk about that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that I was talking to some of my African-American friends also, and I feel that I guess there's this quote-unquote riff. I don't know. I don't see it. But they sometimes feel like, well, the Nigerians, you know, y'all think y'all better than us. And I don't think that is that. We just have that drive to do better and to increase ourselves. But I also feel that the African-American community is kind of like, hey, wake up. You know, it's almost like we were, I wouldn't say sitting here, but now that we're increasingly coming here, we're able to kind of wake you guys up, nudge you. Hey, girl, what you doing? Like, you know, you a queen. Brother, what you doing? You a king. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that the great awakening is happening, you know, with this whole BLM and people understanding who they are. You know, the great awakening is now happening, and I feel that if we come together instead of trying to have, well, who's better than who and who has the biggest bend, that's how we can definitely overcome this, regardless of, you know, if you feel racism is happening from slavery that happened, we can definitely overcome, but it's the mindset that overcomes. You know, we have to they feel that it's the I hear the saying of the crab in the barrel mentality. You know, well, he's doing good, so what can I do to stop his shine? And we have to get out of that. We have to get, oh, he's doing good? He has property? Well, how did you get that? What did you do? Who did you go through? you know, we have to work together instead of trying to always compete with each other. It's not a competition, because when you try to compete with each other, you're just hurting each other. But when we come together and say, hey, you know, I went to school for business. Let me work with the Black Caucus, even though I am a Nigerian. Let me work with the NAACP and teach them how to do these things and go to these programs. And the knowledge that I was able to get, let me teach the people who don't have that knowledge.
Right, right. Well, you know what? I'm beginning to think that African-Americans could really benefit from knowledge of Nigerians and other Africans about, you know, some of the things that we talked about, sense of community, culture,
yes,
respect and honor,
yeah,
focused,
yeah,
mindset, and wanting to make change, you know, generational wealth and so forth, so that the future generations could benefit from some of the things that we did. But getting back to wanting to make a change, though, tell me a little bit more about, you know, the mindset in terms of wanting to make a change. And I know we talked a little bit about that in regards to the family, but that's really good information. So if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we kind of, you know, reached on it. I think the biggest change that is happening right now with the whole BLM situation, it had us to open our eyes and say, wait a minute, we're doing all this protesting, but we don't have any financial backing. You know, you can scream and shout all you want, but what Black people do you have in a position of power making these, you know, legislation? You know, I hate to say it, but it's like we only still have the basic people from the NAACP and the Black Caucus who constantly run for the same position. We need younger blood to come in and run. We need, you know, different African countries that are coming in to come and run. We can't continue to have the same people run for the same district or the same area bringing up the same things. We need new blood in. And so I definitely advise that the young people who are listening, or even the family members who have young people, teach them how to vote. Teach them how to go out here and sign up for, you know, programs that help you with understanding finance, understanding generational wealth, and understanding education. That's the change that we have. A lot of Black people are leaving California, unfortunately, and it has nothing to do with California. It's due to the fact that we don't have property. African Americans have the least amount of property in California. The biggest area that they do have is in Los Angeles and the, you know, Oakland area. Which is, and predominantly is the baby boomers that own the property. It's not even millennials, you know, that own property. It's the baby boomers that own it. And so we, the baby boomers, need to teach these millennials and these the children under us, this is how you buy property. Yeah, I know it sucks working at this job, but stick in there. Have that baby boomer, once again, this mentality, have that baby boomer mentality of let me stick in with this because this is going to provide for me, and not only me, my children, my grandchildren. You know, even if you buy a mom-and-pop house, you know, all of these houses are only two-bed, one-bath. Buy that two-bed, one-bath, and as the years go by, add on to it. That is going to create generational wealth instead of you having to, you know, become in foreclosure because you can't afford this mansion and you end up having to move down south, which is what's happening. Everybody is, yeah, as you can see in Oak Park, California area, well, in Sacramento, but Oak Park area, gentrification is, you know, on a rise. They're coming in buying houses that are worth, you know, $100,000 literally, and they're putting in a whole new bedroom and making it be worth almost $500,000-$600,000 just by adding a bedroom. And so if we as Black people can come together and do fundraisers, or even if we refinance this house, we need to be able to add more generational wealth to our families and to our, you know, children, so that they have something to hold on to when Big Mama passes, instead of Big Mama saying, hey, you know what, I love you guys, but I'm going to sell this house for $200,000, and then it ends up being flipped for almost $700,000, you know. So just understanding wealth and knowing that we need to keep a stronghold.
Right, 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 right. I see we have someone who wants to have a question or comment in the 314 area code. Caller, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Pianki, Bankole, Akinwale, Nigga Igbe, Kofi, Nefakara, Akaso, man. You know,
better known as Blacks Pianchi.
In America, Blacks in America are not Africa. They're United States citizens. That was lost out of them a long time ago. And this whole ideology about them coming together is not going to happen because they're all different, and especially in the regions and the areas that they live in. You're absolutely right when you make mention of the educational attainment in Nigeria. And by the way, I've done a lot. Well, my wife is Awe from the Volta region in Ghana.
Okay.
And we worked. Pardon me?
Yes, I know that's beautiful, beautiful, yes.
Yeah. So, no, you have, they are United States citizens and they're people. And it's like every other ethnic group. They're going to have those that do and those who don't. Now, it is true. Cause, I mean, look at the Nigerians. The Ghanaians, they have their own beauty contest. Nigerians don't have African American black beauty contest. They have their own beauty contest. Ghanaians, Cameroons, Ethiopians, they're human beings. And I work with many with Nigerians in the development of the seaport plan there in Ondo State. I worked with the Ogoni there in the River State. So, you know, people pick and choose what they want to do and what they can do. And that's just the way it is. It's not going to be no coming together because you got too many different thoughts. Go to Chicago and St. Louis and call black African-American and they'd be ready to fight you.
Bianchi, did you have a question for Ms. Nunu? Because we gotta move on.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to move on. I just want to make that point because I hear that all the time, and that's just not the fact. I'm down in Louisiana, and people in Louisiana, what you call blacks in Louisiana, is different than those up in the Missouri and St. Louis area. They're more respectful, so on and so on and so on. And, you know, if you want to help some Africans, why don't you take some in as students? I worked with a young lady from that was Igbo State. Helped her to get established there in the St. Louis area. She finished, helped her to be able to go on back and forth to school to get her CNA and bought her attire so that she could do an interview at Barnes Jewish Hospital. And she was very successful, hired her on the spot. And the last time I talked, heard of Amaka is her name. She's there in California. She married another Igbo lawyer, and she has about 3 sons now. That's very good. She's hardworking and done the things that she wanted to do. And I even taught her how to drive my big Lincoln. So she's a little girl. You can hardly see her head sticking up above the steering wheel. But success story as far as I'm concerned.
Pianchi,
so young lady,
you
because Odabo to you, and talk to you later.
Yeah. Yeah. Pianchi, I have to thank Pianchi because he was the one that really told me about the success of Nigerians in the United States. I had no idea. And when he told me that, I thought, well, you know, maybe we can pick some principles and concepts that Nigerian American immigrants have and share it. And so what we've been trying to do today is to do that.
Jansen, they have 2 distinctions. They have the highest education attainment at any given time of any ethnic group. Their family household income is greater than white. The education attainment is even higher than Asians, quietly as it is kept. And the thing that I make reference to, I say, is why come you don't see these people complaining? They are just as black as Wesley Snipes. It's something you should learn from them.
Exactly, exactly. Right. Well, that's
thank you very
like
much.
What, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Pianchi. So let's see. Did you have anything Nunu, that you wanted to express, I mean, that maybe we didn't talk about? I don't know.
What he was just saying, he is right. It is a two different mentality. And I kind of chuckle because I've lately been watching Kevin Samuels. I don't know if you watch him. He's the one doing this whole dating thing and working with African Americans and helping them to realize, hey, this is how you court, this is how you date. And kind of the whole feminist ideology is what's taking over the African American female community. You know, in Africa, it's not that we don't believe in feminism. You know, there are a lot of women over there with degrees working and going to school, but we understand the power of the man. And I think that was one of the biggest, going back to community, what we were saying earlier, you know, hey, we were blinded with the whole, sure, here's low-income housing, here's health care, here's this, but you got to kick them out, you know. And I think that's kind of where the breakdown of the family and the community started going down, was due to the projects and this and that. And I think once the African-American community kind of says, hey, you know what, nothing's wrong with social services. Absolutely, everybody needs help. But we kind of have to get away from that and go back to strong community, whether it's, hey, you know what, yeah, we got to buy this house, and it's rough, and it's, you know, tough doing house payments and all that good stuff, but we have each other, and we need to go back to that. You know, don't let public resources and social services deter you from the family community and the family, you know, mentality of sticking together.
Right. And I know we were talking, you feel that some of the social programs that were well-meaning kind of could lead to some unintended consequences.
Right. Yes. I totally agree with that one. And then not only that, you have to remember the man can make 1,000 babies. That's great. But it's the woman who mindsets those babies. It's the woman who teaches those babies. And if you have women with a feminist, you know, ideology, well, you're basically training up gangster soldiers. You know, you're not training up women who know how to cook, clean, who know how to, you know, teach the children. Look at COVID. COVID exposed a lot of things in our African American community. Children didn't have internet access. Barely had laptops. You know, a lot of single mothers were having to quit their jobs. You know, imagine if we had that man in the household, in the projects, or in wherever. You know, the mother would have still been able to work, or the father could have still kept working while she taught the children, as opposed to these other cultures. You know, oh, hey, dad, you're going to have to work 10, 20 hours or 100 hours this week. But at the end of the day, I know that my children are being taught by their mother, and we need to go back to that foundational instead of trying to be, you know, independent women. That's not going to work for the community.
Right. Nunu, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to put you on the spot, but you're 31, correct?
Yes, 31, yes.
Okay. I know when you're 31, you don't mind telling your age, but when you get 71.
When you get 71, you just say, I'm living and I'm pushing. Keep that on the low.
Right, exactly. But from a 31-year-old's perspective,
yes.
What's going on? You know, how do you feel?
As far as the community or just in general about how things are going on a day-to-day basis?
In general.
I can speak on my millennials. I can't speak on anything else. I feel that for the African-American millennials, we are doing good as far as educational-wise. You know, I see us opening up our own boutiques, doing online shops, you know, working for the state. So we're definitely doing good at that aspect. But when it comes down to the relationship aspect, I think that's kind of where we're falling. And I wouldn't say that the baby boomers didn't teach us about relationships, because they did. We just didn't, a lot of them didn't pay attention. And I think that's where the fall is happening, from the baby boomers to the when it goes to the millennials. You know, things are definitely going down. We're not really getting married as much as the baby boomers were. We're not having family relationships. And so I think we need to go back to that mindset instead of trying to be, you know, well, I can do it on my own and I can do whatever. And instead of, nothing's wrong with getting your education. That's great. Go for your education. Go for your dreams. But you have to realize that you're, you know, following your dreams, you know, can only take you so far. Who's going to be there for you when you get sick? I mean, you know, and I hate to kind of sound old school, quote unquote, but it's like, you know, family is the one that's going to be there for you, not your degree. And that's why I laugh and chuckle when I watch Kevin Samuels, because he said, all right, you don't end up with a dog. You know, you don't have 13 PhDs and a dog. Nobody's there. So don't let your dreams also stop you from your structure integrity.
Right. Well, speaking of Kevin Samuels, what do you think about Kevin Samuels?
Oh, my goodness. What do I think? Have you watched him?
I've watched the show in the past. He's a host, and he seems to have very, I don't know how to put it, attitude about women, how they should act and, you know, how they should present themselves. I remember one episode where he was saying that he didn't like the fact that so many women were wearing bonnets when they went to the grocery store, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know much.
Yeah, so I think that kind of goes back to the whole community respecting, you know, when you back in the day when you stepped outside, even if you're running down to the mailbox, you know, it was always put something on, you know, don't just come out looking a hot mess. And I think, you know, I'm not saying you have to come out in full glam. I totally understand that, you know, you have kids and you're ripping and running. So I do get that part. But we definitely as women need to, you know, if we want to have these relationships and we want to be married, I definitely agree that you need to put your best foot forward. You know, now that don't mean, you know, come out in the gam, but we do need to bring back that self of that part of us as black women, self-integrity.
Right. Self-integrity. Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think for the, you know, they may crucify me, but in the African community, we already know the man is ahead. There's no arguing. There's no, you know, craziness with it. We know that he is a protector, and, you know, he's the one that's going to protect us when all craziness goes. Do we get into fight? Yes. Every relationship, you have your ups and downs. But at the end of the day, I understand that his best interest is for me and the children and for the community to move forward. And I think that as black women, we need to be understanding of that, you know, not so trying to be, you know, the man. He is the man. So we need a, there's this new, you know, whole phrase going on, relaxing in your femininity, you know, and just, you know, letting.
What was that phrase again?
Relaxing.
Would you repeat that
phrase? Yes. Who was, I think they've kind of been going on these black shows about it, relaxing in your femininity and just
relaxing.
Basically, you know,
Go ahead.
And being feminine again, making black women more feminine again. I think we've been so, like I said, going back to when we kick the man out. When you kick a man out, you become the man. You become the provider and the head. So you're no longer being feminine. You're no longer being, you know, teaching children and doing this and cooking. You're like, okay, look, you're the disciplinary. You're doing this. You're paying bills. And so we kind of lost the way to relax and be a woman. You know, nothing's wrong with being a stay-at-home woman. I think that we kind of are so focused on being degree that we forgot about the stay-at-home moms and the women who do more, less nine-to-five things and more homely things. You know, what's wrong with doing that? And I think that's something that we lost in our community, the teachers and the waymakers and the home preparers. And so we definitely need to get back to that.
Right. So let me just say that we've got another 15 minutes. If you're listening and you want to make a question or comment to Ms. Nunu, you can do so. Otherwise, Nunu, it's great to have you on the show today and getting your perspective. I'd like to talk a little bit more, though, if it's okay, about a sense of community. We talked about, you know, weddings and, you know, different holidays. But talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily
so, I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Sense of community.
Yeah. Community, yeah. So just recently, I don't know what happened, but we had a African restaurant here located on Northgate in the Sacramento area. And, I mean, she was thriving, doing very good. And I kind of laughed because I say that became our staple area, if you would say. And so, you know, people would be there all night. I mean, so like 9, 10 at night and not even eating, just hanging out and talking. And, you know, what's going on with this person? Like I said, it was just a way of being able to check in, not only with your people here, but your people overseas and in different states. I think that the movie Soul Food is kind of what comes to mind. We missed doing those Sunday dinners, the checking in. I think that as African Americans, we definitely need to go back to that. We've just been so disconnected and focused on work, and goals instead of actually sitting down with each other and being on one accord, having that Sunday dinner or having that, you know, during the week dinner with each other, just coming back to family again and realizing that, you know, COVID definitely woke us up. You know, COVID was something very rough, but like I said, it did wake up a lot of people in realizing that, you know what, we need to stick together. You know, we were able to create women who did have educational backgrounds. They were able to, you know, hey, let me open up my garage and teach the children in my neighborhood. Even if I have an apartment, let me teach the people in my apartment complex. We have to get back to that stronghold of being able to rely on each other. Because as you can see, the school districts don't care. You know, when they're shut down, they're shut down. You know, they don't trip off whether your child is learning or not. Here's a laptop, figure it out. And it's like they kind of just threw the children and the parents into this whirlwind. But thankfully, you know, that we had certain people in our areas who had that educational background or that daycare background. And we were able to, you know, let the women rise up and be feminine. You know, as I was saying, they're able to rise up and help the children and teach the children.
Right. So you call it relaxing in your femininity. That's a new one on me.
You know, not you don't the whole I'm a boss this, and it's like, wait a minute, you don't need to be a boss. You just need to be a woman and follow your goals and your dreams. You know, being a boss is, look, I'm ordering around commands, I'm doing that. You got to do whatever I say. That's not becoming of a woman. A real woman is, hey, you know what, let's work on this. Let's get this deadline done. It's community. A woman brings community. A man brings protection to that community.
Right. So relaxing in your, a woman relaxing in her femininity would be almost adverse or on the other side to a feminist, would you say?
Yeah, I guess you could say. Yes and no, because like I said, when you're in your feminist, you're able to follow your goals, you know, and a feminist wants to follow her goals. So I definitely agree with that. But on the flip side, a feminist is kind of like, okay, you know what, I'm going to do my goal, and if anybody's in my way, you're getting kicked out. Now, wait a minute, you need men in your community to protect and to serve. You know, I know a lot of women in my family who were in the military, so I'll never take away their urge and their drive to be on the front line, and I respect that. But you also have to realize women cannot protect the whole world. You know, we can't do everything that men can do. Certain things, look, we just have to admit, hey, you know what, heaven forbid we get invaded, you know, with all this craziness going on. We can't just, oh, well, let's send out the female troops. Maybe we can't carry all that stuff. You know, we can carry certain things, but we have to remember a man is always there to protect us. And nothing's wrong with letting a man be a man and a woman say, hey, you know what, I can do this here, but I can't do that, and let me fall back. That's how you win the war, is with teamwork. You know, that's how you win the race, is teamwork.
Right. Well, Nunu, you bring some good perspectives to this whole you know, thing about black people in the United States, you know, mindset, culture. I'm glad that you had a chance to come on the show, really.
Yes.
And I like what you said about respect and honor, though, in that that's one of the things that you're really pushing for in just creating a better family. And so
yeah.
I can never hear too much about that. So can you talk about that a little bit more?
Oh, yes, yes.
Respect.
I feel that, yeah, we definitely lost that in our community. And I don't mean by physically respecting, hey, spanking this, whooping that, the physical part. I'm just saying, you know, the old saying, when you walk into the room, oh, good morning. You know, we don't even do that in our community. We have elders who come over from church or just elders in general. We don't even move out the curb for them. You know, you literally, the elders are, all, you know, on their cane getting to the curb, moving to the side in the street. We have to go back to that because, you know, and I'm serious, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, we the younger generation has no respect for elders. And I'm not sure of the Bible verse. I'm not really good with that. So I don't want to quote anything wrong. But I do know that it says respect your elders because that is what is going to, you know, let people realize who you really are and where your heart is at. We have to not only respect our elders, but respect ourselves. You know, we got to stop with the craziness. And what I mean by craziness is when a woman submits, that is when the structure and integrity comes in. And I know a lot of women are submitting. I ain't no dog. I ain't no. Submission doesn't mean you have no say-so. Submission means the key, first is sub, you know, which is to minus, you know, take back. And when you take back and fall back, that is when the community moves forward because you're not just thinking about yourself. You're submitting to the will of the to the community and the structure of the community, not yourself and your own interests. You know, you could always go to school, always do this. But you have to remember that as a woman, you are the creator and the founder of your people. You bring forth the womb. The man, yeah, he does this, he does that, but it's the woman who brings forth the womb and the wisdom to create and to bring the next, you know, population forward.
Well, you know, that's a very good a thought and a very good philosophy. That's something I think that needs to be, that light needs to be shined more in the community. Whereby, you know, it just brings a balance to the whole situation. So I'm glad that you shared that with us. I mean, it's deep information. I mean, we all know it, but, you know, you kind of brought it back up to the surface. Yeah. So so apparently in the Nigerian community, maybe African community as a whole, the aspect of womanhood is maybe a little higher than it is, say, in the African American community. And when I say woman,
yes.
I mean, you know, like self identity.
Yes. Let's not, you know, let's not go down that road. They'll be chewing us up. But you know, being a woman over there isn't just being a woman. I hold the keys. I have the keys. I have the power, if that makes sense. We know that, yes, the man opens up companies and drills the roadway and the this and the that. You know, what's the song? That this world is, it's a man's world, but what is it really without a woman? The woman is the one who brings forth the life and the sustainability and the nurturing. And so I feel that we kind of lost that nurturing part of the woman in America. You know, it kind of got killed out with the feminism and trying to goal this and orient that. And like I said, nothing's wrong with that. Follow your goals, but remember that you still are the nurturer and you're the one who's bringing forth life. And you're also the one who's going to be teaching, you know, for further generations. What you teach now, you know, will go on in the history books and will be taught for forever.
Right. Well, like I say, it's a very beautiful thought. A very beautiful philosophy. I'm just glad to have a part of bringing it back to the surface and for people to know and for this knowledge to kind of filter out into the world. So there's a lot of things we could talk about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, for us to get back to self and get back to knowledge, you know.
Right. There's so much more that we could talk about. We talked about some very important concepts in the little short time that we had today. Let me just summarize that, some of the things that we talked about today. And this is not all, but it's a good foundation. Well, we talked about having a greater sense of community, okay? We talked about culture and even getting down to tribes. You mentioned that it might be a good idea if people want to go to Ancestry.com or either 23andMe. And we talked about having respect and honor, and that the mentality of Nigerians is that you don't want to come over here not do well. You know, you want to, you know, go to the top as far as possible, you know, doctor, lawyer, business owner. And we talked about, what's the name of that tribe again, that money tribe?
Oh, this is the one. Yes,
the Igbos. I got to do a little more research on the Igbos. But we talked about that. And know that it's your duty to that you bring honor to your family and try to bring your family up. And we talked about having a focused mindset, having a plan and a mission, and we talked about wanting to make change and wanting to better myself. And so that wanting to make, we got a couple minutes, but if you could talk real briefly on wanting to make a change before we go today.
Okay. Yeah. So I laugh because a while back, you know, California was a place to be, you know, especially for black people, you know, coming to the tech industry, do this, do that. And now everything has switched to everybody's running to Atlanta. You know, I think, you know, they call it that. That's the black Mecca, you know, and I think that down there they have a sense of pride because why? They own the businesses. They own the property. They own, you know, they work in positions of power out there. And when you see yourself in a position of power, it makes you say, you know what? It makes you say, you know what? Why can't I do that? Why can't I, you know, accomplish what I want to accomplish? And so I think we need to definitely get back to that, seeing our faces in a position of power and, you know, not being scared to jump out there. Go, like I said, you know, go run for this. Go, join your local club this. You know, we need to get back into being more vocal in our communities, and not just the community, but in legislative and the three branches. You know, let's get back out there. Because there was a time when a lot of black people were in, you know, executive branches. You know, we were big working in, you know, politics. And so we need to get back to that. We need to see ourselves and not just in one area of Atlanta. Or, you know, Houston, the major big black meccas, quote unquote, that we're in. You know, we need to bring that back to California and have self-identity.
Right. Well, Nunu, I want to thank you again for taking the time to come on the show today. You've been very enlightening. And
yes.
A lot of information that you had, you know, it's very refreshing to hear. So I have to have you back on the show again. And let me just say to our audience that the number to call, if you have friends, tell them it's 516-387-1611, 10 a.m., Saturday mornings, God willing, West Coast time. The Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. We're just going to wrap it up for today. Nunu, thanks again for coming on the show. And folks, call in next week. Hopefully, you know, God willing, we have another show. And wrap it up for today. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Goodbye.
Talk soon.
God bless.